Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Happy Monday. Today is November 12th, 2018. I'm Michelle Pichet, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now let's welcome Michael in support of developing our inner process of Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady. Thank you for being available. Jeannie was out this morning doing errands, taking Dad to the doctor and getting some errands done. So thanks for being there to open the show for us. Hope your day is blessed.
My son's 23 today, my firstborn, so it's a special day.
Oh, wow. Well, happy Eternal Day to your son. That awesome racing man.
Yeah, the awesome racing man. And it's, you know, he's my go-to when it comes to capturing the essence of the newborn, the images that I have in mind when I first met him. I remember sitting in the hospital, gazing into his eyes blinklessly. It felt like for hours. And I felt this real, pain in my chest. And I wasn't really sure what was going on. It was the first time I was alone with my baby. And I reached over for the nurse's button because I thought, well, maybe I had this emergency C-section. Maybe there's some kind of problem with the anesthesia wearing off. Like, this is unusual. And it just kept kind of like a sharp, achy pain in my chest. And I was looking at my son, and then I finally clicked, like, oh, my gosh, your heart's just breaking open here, dear. And it was so visceral, the sensation in my body. It was so much love expanding. It felt like it was stretching its limits.
The power of active present love, yeah, sounds like a healing process, which a lot of people resist and intensify the pain as they do it, but that sounds exactly like what happened. That's sweet.
I never thought about it like
nice
that.
Nice that you were able to realize
right.
that. Yeah.
Very
yeah,
cool.
Whenever there's restriction anywhere in the structure, I was actually watching a post that somebody posted, a friend, and they were talking about dealing with people in pain and how, you know, the thing that most people do is, well, you know, and say they've lost a loved one. So, oh, but appreciate everybody else. You know, they're trying to push them not to feel what they're feeling. And this video, at least from my perspective, mistakenly gives them the idea of, well, it's better to let people be in their pain, which is absolutely true, absolutely correct. But then it says in the video, and join them in their pain. It's like, no. Reinforcing somebody's pain is not the way to go, but bringing a space of love, bringing that conscious, active, present love, which is what will accelerate people through their pain, through their trauma, through that energy being forgiven, being released or transmuted that doesn't belong within the system. So it's, you know, oftentimes when someone's in deep pain, just to be there, just focusing on if you have pain, deal with your pain and bring forward that space of active love. It's one of the greatest gifts we could possibly give to another. So it sounds like you had a young man that arrived and ready to give you that gift just right out of the wrapper. How cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
You're
they
right.
Are amazing, aren't they?
I was doing a breath session with someone yesterday afternoon, and that's how they described it after we were processing. She said, it felt like something was coming out of my stomach, of the middle. She goes, I could feel it, like, coming out. And you know, she was best as she could trying to language the energy. She could feel physically the aberrant energy leaving her body during the breath session.
Well,
and
I've
it
actually,
hurt.
You know,
she said it hurts a lot.
Oh yeah, it can be pretty intense. I've watched people in Still Point where their bodies, you know, the special effects video or in the movies where there's an alien in there, and this, you know, aliens moving around under the skin, and I've watched people where their bodies actually do that, where their energy is moving so deeply that it looks like, hey, you got an alien in there. And mm-hmm. you know, all of that energy is alien. The energy of sadness and fear and rage and guilt and pain and blame and drama and trauma is all alien energy. It doesn't belong within the human system. And that's a hard thing for people to grasp when their persona is based in their identity of pain, and they define love as attachment. I have to have you. I have to possess you. You have to fulfill my every need and make me happy. Then I'll know you love me. And you know, that whole fantasy has got nothing whatsoever to do with love, but it's kind of, you know, well, as the song title we refer to often, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, and using that pursuit to avoid stopping, taking a breath, and touching into the essence of ourselves as that presence of love, which makes for such a different game in life. So delighted that you're here to be part of the process, and let's take a look at our Course in Miracles lesson. Got lesson, let's see, I seek a future different from the past. Lesson 1314. You know, our work with the Course each day, the opening, this year the opening of the class, the radio show, comes out of the fact that, you know, the focus of our work is first century Aramaic forgiveness. And the word forgiveness having nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening in me, but rather is the tool with which you go inside yourself and remove the root of your pain, forgiveness. And for me, you know, having learned that from the first century Aramaic Yeshua and working with his first century Aramaic words for many decades, then turning to find only one other place on the planet that gives that definition, and it is found in the Course in Miracles, the how-to of forgiving. I've never seen anywhere else on the planet. So when someone made the request that we pick up and do the Course lessons, which, you know, of course, I've been working with for over three decades, it was an easy leap to say, yeah, let's start each day out with that, because it is a format for undoing and forgiving everything in you that's less than love, recognizing that everything that you perceive is a construct of your mind, and if that construct is based on alien energy, or in the ancient Aramaic it was called sin being an archery term, when you fired at the bullseye, and if you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell sin, that if we engage in an energy that doesn't belong, then sooner or later, that energy needs to be forgiven. And it doesn't have anything to do with the Greek twist of it needs to, or I need to, or they need to be let off the hook. Nothing whatsoever. And so we're coming, you know, up close to the close of the course. It's lesson 314, so just about to the end of the year. And one of the things the course taps us into is that we are the offspring of love, the creator, and therefore are creators. And of course, if we are creators, how is it we do that? We do that through the energies that we hold to. And when we hold to energies that are alien, energies that are based in hostility or fear, we create a future based in pain. Now, if you look at most of humanity, you know, take a look at our media today, yesterday, or the week before, the month before, the year before. Take a look at the drama and trauma going on in the world. And what we have are people without awareness playing out the same energetic dynamics as their generations have done. You know, you look at that story, ancient story, about the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. And something had to happen for them to get out of the desert. Now, obviously, this is a relatively bright group of people. They know quite a bit about astronomy. We know from the writings. And so if you think about them trapped in a 35-square-mile area for 40 years, you got to say to yourself, that's pretty silly. I mean, these people knew how to look up and look where the sun was, and they knew east from west, and they'd have been out of that desert in no time flat. They certainly never could have been stuck there for 40 years. But what we find is it's a metaphor for we as humans being stuck in a state of unconsciousness, stuck in a mindset of the past. And you can verify that when you read that story about them wandering in the desert for 40 years, because they give the criteria for getting out of the desert. Now, you'll notice that the criteria for getting out of the desert wasn't, oh, we found the edge of the desert and we walk out. It wasn't it. What had to happen to get out of the desert? They said the old generation had to die off. Now, the root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. It means the old causes of the reality or the world that you're experiencing have to go. So our lesson today, 314, I seek a future different from the past. Most people stuck in the past in their minds, perceptions generated from the same energetic dynamics of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, trauma, attachment, possession, blame, play out of those energetic dynamics, and as creators, they shine their creative capacity through those energetic patterns and produce more of the same. The process of forgiveness is exactly, or the result of forgiveness is that you will get a different future than the one that you had in the past. Because as you choose to be responsible and you forgive, you undo, you let loose those energetic dynamics within yourself that are based in alien energy. And I think that's a good way to say it. I've never really thought of it before, but are based in alien energy. As you forgive those energetic dynamics, that light that you are, that power and creative energy flows through a different prism. Instead of a prism filled with darkness, that active presence of human life that Michelle was just describing, her son as a newborn essence, and basically when that shows up in purity, it begins to burn off the darkness in our own individual prism. And that's what I heard Michelle just describing, is there was a darkness around her heart, an energy, alien, that it didn't belong, and that powerful presence of active love just began the process of it being burned off. I suspect, Michelle, if you really looked at your life from that day forward, and of course every parent's life is different with the arrival of a child, but outside of that, I suspect that that might have been a place where a whole new level of your work and your life began as you get into that. And I think that the reason we're not given children until we're adults is because, you know, we've been brainwashed in the world and its ways and its insanity. We play that out. And a mother and a father, and you'll notice that our culture pushes us and brainwashes us to do the opposite. A mother and a father are designed to be there at the moment of the arrival of the active presence of love in their lives. A pure active presence that is not yet inculcated into the alien energy. And that pure presence gives a mother and a father a taste of the pure presence of human life that is the human life that they are as well. It serves, I believe it's meant to be served as a reminder. Oh, echoes in my mind. I remember who this is. I remember who I am. I am love. and thus for the parents becomes a new level. There arrives a new dynamic in one's life, and that is of processing out the generational patterns of hostility, fear, etc. And so the awakening to the possibility with a new life arriving of a different future. So this lesson goes on to say, from the new perception of the world, there comes a future very different from the past. So if you imagine that your creative energy, your creative being, shines through an instrument, and the instrument is your multi-generational database called the body-mind unit. If it's from generations of war and rage and guilt and fear and politics, you know, all of that stuff, then everything that is less than the active presence of love is darkness. And so as that energy shines through your instrument, and as one grows from birth, we tend to be structured by the energetic dynamics going on around us. If we have parents who are fully conscious and fully awake and fully aware, then anything that is unlike love, they're going to be there to support us and assist us letting loose of it. And yet too often we've been pushed into and forced into and bought into the hostility and rage and fear that is genetically inculcated into us and then expressed by a power person in our world. And where those two energies intersect, they come up out of the genes through resonance, and then the power person shining through their light, through their darkness, radiates that darkness that joins with the genetic darkness. And it kind of, you know, if you can imagine it, it almost makes like a solidifies this as a structure in us. This fear or this rage or this insecurity or this pain or this trauma, instead of the active presence of love dissolving that. And if the newborn, as it grows and develops day by day by day, is assaulted by these energies of hostility and fear, and having those energies within their genes, those energies are resonated, brought forward, and solidified, then the self develops out of that dynamic. It is the self that Yeshua spoke of it as, in order for you to live, you've got to die. Now, if you think that your body is your life and that dying is going to bring you to life, you've got a really serious problem. He's speaking of the self based in trauma, generationally installed and reinforced by the environment. So it's not, you know, nurture nature. It's the two in combination. There's an old argument about is it the nurturing environment or the internal nature? No, it's the interaction of the two. And the things that solidify, the things that become structures in the mind, you know, those things that somebody can remember, oh, yeah, I remember when I was 3 and this happened and it was so painful. And that becomes literally an energetic structure that one tends to turn back to for identity and creative expression. And if it's based in trauma, then one tends to create a life based in trauma. Once one becomes aware, then one stops and takes a breath and recognizes that, there was that energetic trauma. I fell into identification with it. I formed a self based in that drama. You listen to, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've worked with over the decades. And, you know, when they come up against it, their expression is, well, you know, I've always known I was never any good. I've always known that I never had any really real value. I remember when my father was, you know, I was 5 and my father told me I'd never be worth anything. And those energetic structures are broken down through forgiveness. Once they're forgiven, that false identity, that false self begins its dissolution. It is forgiven. And as it is forgiven, the light and the power of creative ability that we have no longer flows into and empowers that darkness and that pain and creates behavior inclinations based in darkness and pain, but rather comes through in purity and light, experience life as it's designed to be lived. So the future now is recognized as but an extension of the present. Past mistakes can cast no shadows on it, so that fear has lost its idols and its images. And being formless, it has no effects. Now listen to those words, idols and images. They're the mental, emotional structures that oftentimes are nothing more than bits of DNA that replay generation after generation after generation until somebody exposes them to conscious, active, present love and purposely removes them. And now that those things have been dissolved, forgiven, and this is the forgiveness process. You know, many people are running around like forgiveness is about being let off the hook. And they're like, you know, they're even bumper stickers. I'm a Christian. I've been forgiven. Excuse me. You will never be forgiven. Because forgiveness has nothing to do with the Creator is going to let you off the hook for the terrible things that you've done. That's all a mistaken conversation. The energetic structures of hostility and fear that have become, if they have become part of your identification of yourself, are dissolved, and there's the forgiveness process. And as they are dissolved, in this lesson just so beautifully puts it, so that fear has lost its idols and its images. These structures formed over generations and generations and generations. Most people, 40 years of that before they start to wake up and go, maybe these images are false, now have no effects. At this point, death will not claim the future now, for life becomes the goal, and all the needed means are happily provided. Who can grieve or suffer when the present has been freed, extended in security and peace, into a quiet future filled with joy? So just breathe with me on that thought. And as I breathe, I let loose of those energetic dynamics. Who can grieve or suffer when the present has been freed, extending its security and peace into a quiet future filled with joy? And as you breathe, those things are softened and released. The self that never was who you were dissolves. The structures of the mind that have you believing that that's who you are collapse. Light now extends through light. So the meditative aspect of this lesson: Father, we were mistaken in the past and choose to use the present to be free. In other words, you know, we bought into all of these mind structures that simply, you know, when we shine our light on them, cast shadows in our world and in our emotions and in our physiology. Now do we leave the future in your hands, leaving behind our past mistakes, ensure that you keep your present promises and guide the future in their holy light. And so becomes fulfilled, and one steps into the truth of who they are. Can you keep that close?
No, I've got to let them know them. I did it.
Okay. And so that's our lesson from the course today. Michelle, is Dr. Tim with us?
Yes, he's here.
Well, let's say hello to the young man, see how he is today. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Enjoying the intro. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Yeah, I actually found this lesson to be, to me, it's just kind of got a little extra zoom today than most of the lessons do. It just opened a different space for me. One of the things I was thinking about is I was thinking of past and trauma, and I shared at the beginning of the show the loss that people tap into. And I was thinking of how the world brainwashes us and structures us for loss. And, you know, a couple of years ago, as you all know, my mother passed away. And, I mean, she and I had just an awesome connection. She was just such an amazing influence in my life. And since the day she left her body, it's been simply the ability to tap into her light and her love and be in connection and appreciation with that for her, rather than the mind structure of the quote-unquote loss of her so-called physical presence. And so that's kind of what I was ruminating on as I was reading the lesson, and what was coming home is on a new level, just the gift that her presence has been in my life. And the fact that it's still here, loud and clear, just so, so beautifully loud and clear. So that's kind of what was moving for me in the lesson today.
Well, I join you in that. There's just so much in our culture that conditions us to and preps us to be experiencing grief and tragedy and anger and sadness and loss. And what I've discovered since a friend gave me a fabulous tool in graduate school is that it's possible for me to review relationships even when the person just, you know, we graduated high school together or college or they moved out of state or whatever, for me to review the relationship and face any sadness or grief or resentment and prove to myself that it's not going to overwhelm me. And in that process, take time to actually sort through and catalog and label the memories, and as a result end up having them in the library of my mind for easy access, ready access, without the fear that I'm going to get overwhelmed if I tap into that, or I'm going to get triggered to sadness, or I won't be able to stop crying or whatever. And so in practicing that for years now, I've demonstrated to myself at deeper and deeper levels that I'm the one creating the negative emotions that I experience when somebody moves away or chooses not to be in a relationship with me or drops the body. And since I'm the one creating that, with these tools, I now have the option to create what you just said, this awareness that the way that person blessed my life with their presence, the way my life changed for the better, the way I stretched and grew in relationship with that person is a permanent gift. It's with me, even when they're not in the state or the county or in the body anymore. And if I can work to focus on that, I can get direct access to all of the joy and all the life lessons and all of the deepening gratitude and appreciation for whatever that person brought with them into my life. And that's what fills my energy system when I think of them. And that's just that's a very different message than I was ever given in the culture.
The understatement of the century, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is why I'm so happy to be able to offer on my website that workshop. I finally got a good recording of that workshop. It's a two-hour, two separate one-hour MP3s of me discussing that process and then, you know, being able to make available the PDF of the categories that I encourage people to go through if they're doing this process to review. Because, as I said, I'm going to review the memories in the relationship, and I'm going to catalog them and categorize them and sort through them so that I've done the work of uncovering any negative emotions that might be attached and demonstrating to myself that they are just energies that can move through me and I don't have to be afraid of them.
Right.
So,
and so for somebody to get access to that, Tim, what exactly do they do?
It's CH4CS.com. And if you go to the audio file and scroll down, there are a list of audio files available, and the ones we're talking about are the ones that are titled Saying Goodbye to Good People Without Saying Goodbye to Good Memories, Hour 1 and Hour 2.
Cool.
And then, you know, if you want the PDF of the list of categories, then just go to the About Us page and scroll down to the bottom of my bio, and there's a link for the PDF. You just click it, and it downloads the PDF for you.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, you know, there's a song that we haven't talked about a lot on the show lately, but we do bring it up every once in a while. It seems appropriate to bring it up again in this context because it's, you know, how the mind categorizes things in the negative direction. And the song by Alanis Morissette entitled Madness, if you haven't listened to it, it's reflective of someone that has done just deep, huge amounts of work. But one of the lines in the song is, now I see the madness in me comes up in the presence of you, but it remains when you're not in the room. And, you know, when I hear her voice echo and she plays, her melody line is just beautiful for that. You're not in the room. And I can have the same with all of the beauty, all of the wonder, all of the amazing experiences I've ever had with anyone. And it's not reliant on physiology. It's reliant on the energetic dynamics of the truth of who we are. So if you haven't listened to that song, and of course, we could say, we could do a turnaround on the lines of the song and say, yes, and not just the madness, but the beauty and the sweetness is all available to me, unless I have a different idea and I've overridden it with rage and guilt and why did you go when there's something wrong with you and you never should have left me, you know, look what you've done to me. I can override the energetic dynamics of the truth and the beauty of every experience I've ever had. So the process becomes one of weakening and forgiving my tendency toward playing the victim game and playing out the, woe is me, look what I've lost. If I really had and valued what I had with you, I still have it. Even if you're not in the room, I can still value that and realize it's not my identity. It's an experience. And my being is touched by that experience. And when I shine my light through it, I create more of the same. So if you haven't listened to that song, or if you have listened to it and not recently, Alanis Morissette, you can jump on YouTube and just type in Alanis Morissette or just type in Madness and start to type in ALA and it'll come up. It's just an awesome song. Just so powerful to look at the work. So very, very cool. So, Michelle, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Right now, we don't have any hands up. And in the chat room, Lightness Being said, if Dr. Tim can expand on joy from last Thursday night, that would be great.
Well, because these are such deep, rich topics, and
let's take a time out and answer this call.
Well, and also recognize that the audio track of that Thursday night is now available on your website, right, Tim? So people will be able to get it firsthand.
And what I would say is that there's a short statement here this is just a kind of an excerpt from the Q&A in the Way of Mastery. And it says that joy is a quality of mind of the recognition of the truth of what is. And pleasure, we're distinguishing that from pleasure. Pleasure is the experience of a temporary pattern of energy in the nervous system. So in that way, pleasure is just like pain. It's just a temporary experience of energy moving through the nervous system. At another point in the Q&A, he said, joy is the state of becoming free of all illusions of separation. So here, you know, he's defining joy as the state of the Christ mind, of the awareness of the connectedness of everything. And he says, the joy-filled mind can cry like no one has ever cried before, can feel sadness like no one has ever felt sadness. So it's this distinction between chasing after a particular energetic stimulation, which would create a pleasurable response, and tapping into the awareness of your true nature and the true nature of everyone and everything around you. Tapping into your true nature produces this experience of connectedness, and that's the joy they're talking about. It's this immutable, unchangeable state that we can tap into, whereas pleasure and pain are just temporary movements of energy through the energy system.
And there's a paleontologist named Teilhard de Chardin who has a really powerful definition of the word joy, and his definition is it is the infallible sign of the presence of God. Now, of course, God being love, infallible sign of the presence of love, since love is always present, if we added the awareness of the infallible sign, the awareness that love is always present, instead of getting lost in these other mind structures, and we are naturally in joy. So it fits very well, that, you know, the definitions that he brings out in the Book on Mastery. Powerful. Sweet. Cool. Well, we've got a caller. You say, Michelle. Let's say hello.
It's area code 423. And that is actually me. Thank you,
oh,
Michelle,
my goodness,
for filling in. I just wanted to throw in as a side, today is Veterans Day, and to honor the veterans on this day. And I wanted to share something that actually, the pastor brought out yesterday in church. He was honoring the veterans, and he used the scripture that says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he brought out the point that laying your life down for your friends isn't necessarily dying in the body, that yes, a lot of the veterans, you know, have passed. But Veterans Day is also to honor the living, and that he brought out that to lay their lives down, that they've actually set their lives aside to do what they feel called to do, and that they're, you know, dedicated to hard work and sacrifice with the goal of making life better. And that they often experience, yes, some of them, you know, actually physically lay their life down, they die. But then also some of them are just, you know, maimed or hurt or have other physical ailments that come from that. But then he also stressed the mental and emotional and the psychological impact of them laying their lives aside or setting their lives aside. And that, you know, they've really suffered and paid a high price. And so just to honor all of our veterans and their families.
Breathing with you, Jeannie. Breathing with you. Yeah, and the fact that to me, part of honoring them, you'll remember we've talked about honor as it's given in the scripture, honor thy father and thy mother, and that really in Aramaic means to bring into behavior, bring active present love into behavior toward them. And we need to be offering these veterans. I remember, you know, David on the show a few years back on Veterans Day. David was now passed, and we were talking about as a veteran, he was in Vietnam. What was the most difficult thing you did? And I remember him saying, was taking another life. He had to set aside, in order to buy the insanity of war, he had to set aside that which he knew was true and honorable in order to do a job he was assigned to do. And this culture has taken so much from these men and women, and we need to be honorable and return to them the support, the caring, and the honor that they deserve for all that they've given up besides their lives. We look today and we see, you know, 25 vets a day are committing suicide in America, at least a minimum of 25 a day are taking their lives. We need to be restoring them. We need to put love into behavior toward them to return to them what, sadly, in order to extract the price of war, we as a culture have taken from them. And, you know, we've got, you can listen on our website, you can listen to Michael Coughlin, go to the special archives on the website for the radio show, and you can listen to this young man who came back from war, alcoholic, found himself, you know, waking up with a rope around his neck, trying to commit suicide. And when he first met this work, he thought I was a crazy man, could not sleep in the same room with his wife because in the middle of the night he'd wake up with his hands on her throat ready to kill her. And after about 4 years of doing this work, his girlfriend agreed to marry because she wouldn't marry. It was just too much trauma that he carried home with him. And he worked through that. And now they live the gift of sharing a bed and sharing their lives on a level that was impossible before he was given the tools. So for anyone who wants to support a vet, if you're willing to set aside some of your life to do that. There are so many suffering today. To really honor our vets doesn't mean go out and salute a grave. Excuse me. Doesn't mean that. That's a nice ceremony. But to really honor them means to bring love into behavior toward them. And one of the most loving things I can think to offer to these men and women is the tools of forgiveness and the support for the healing of the dynamics of war that they have carried home and got home, and nobody knew how to get rid of it for them. We know. We've got the technology. Now, your life may be too busy. Maybe you've got too many things to do, you know, too many car payments to make, too much money to make, you know, and that's okay. But if you really want to honor those vets, you know, one of the things that I've put out and I've gotten little to no, almost zero response from, and this goes back probably a year ago, there was a movie. If you haven't seen it, Thank You for Your Service, go watch it. Go watch this young man who has a relationship with this wonderful woman, and he goes off to war and he gets brainwashed into the hate. And when he comes back, they can't interact with each other and watch him. I mean, it's a true story. And he walks to the bank where she works and puts a bullet in his head. That's repairable, folks. That's repairable. That can be cleaned up. That doesn't have to continue. Now, we've got a teaching center, and in the winter, it doesn't operate. We've got a full facility, food preparation, accommodations. We can bring families of vets in, and we can change that for them. Pardon me. We can support them changing that in themselves. unfortunately, it's not something I can do by myself. I need people who say, I'll step up and do that. I'm ready to do something like that. So I just put that out. If you really want to honor vets, we have the tools. We have the tools that can show them how to heal every iota of pain and suffering and trauma and hatred that they were brainwashed into in their training. You know, there's an interesting video out there called Who Will Stand? Watch it as the vets tell you about how they were trained to hate. I worked with a psychologist a couple of years ago who was working in a military facility, and they warned her, you know, when we talked, they said, I'd be delighted to take it. We can take it in and help him get rid of that pain. And she's like, no, you don't understand. We can't do that. I was warned that these men and women have been psychologically profiled and set up to function a certain way. And I was able to go in and work in that facility, she said, as long as I didn't touch that. Folks, when these people come back from that training, that needs to be touched. Otherwise, we see people putting bullets in their head every day, every day, every day, every day. In fact, in the time that I've been talking, there have probably been at least two more today. Right now, in this show, at least two more, whose lives, with all the promise of the newborn, all of the possibility of the newborn, gave it up. Probably didn't have a clue what they were giving up. They were shown this be all you can be, tough guy. But they gave it up. We can help them restore it. So I just put that out there. If there's anybody that feels it's your part to do, participate in, wonderful, or support in any way that you choose to. Pass the tools on to a vet. Probably, geez, I don't even remember now, how many years ago, several years ago now, we were at a conference, and someone came up to me afterward that was into, foreseer, you know, ancient mind, God, his name's not coming to me. He wrote in quatrains.
Nostradamus.
And this person was really into Nostradamus, came up, and we were talking about Heartland and vets. And I said, there's a quatrain that says that the vets will go to Heartland. The veterans, it was the warriors. The warriors will go to Heartland to heal. We have the tools if you want to be part of it. So, Jeannie, any other thoughts from what you were sharing about yesterday's sermon?
No, that's good. I did put in the notes for today that I looked up that documentary, Who Will Stand, and it says on the package of it, they taught us how to survive in Iraq. No one taught us how to survive once we got home.
That's it. And it's, I guess we could open a whole other conversation. The fact is, it's criminal. I forget which one of the congressmen stood up in Congress and said, I believe it was maybe, what's his name? It just passed recently. But he stood up in Congress and said, if we can't take care of them when they come back, why the hell are we sending them? And we're not taking care of them. We know how to. We're not. But then there's no money in that. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with a thought for us? Or,
yeah, I think Snoop's on
the line. Maybe Tim has something to share. And Michelle, I know that you've been there, done that. So maybe you have some things to share with us too.
I don't think you heard me say that Julie's on the line.
Okay. Let's go for it.
Hi, it's Julie from Ashland, Oregon. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, hi there, young lady. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I want to add a little. I love what Jeannie was saying about what the pastor said. It really resonated to me that, you know, as someone who has been doing this work, I keep looking for the contribution that I'm going to make, you know, and I keep opening the way for that, and I'm doing it. And I would put myself in the position of being a veteran in the space of when they chose to go into the service. And that is the word, you know, service. And what are they serving? They're serving the hope of America, you know, the hope of all we can be, the place where we're free to be all that we can be. And I would just like to kind of resonate, kind of like rock the cradle for everybody to, you know, notice where they can make contributions. Yes, we want to take care of those who came back from having served, and we want them to feel served as they come back, as a gratitude. So, you know, and but, you know, there's this kind of gap going on where they are easily depressed and then given drugs. And part of the depression could be seeing our America, you know, going down the tubes. At times there is that perception. So we actually make contribution from a space of love to uplift America and keep America great, so to speak. You know, be the greatness that we are and give the gifts that we have to give. And that's what the veterans served this country for, is to keep this alive. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a hope. You know, we all have hope. And it used to be that we just expected America to be wonderful and everything was in good charge. And now we're having to look into the swamp and just remove anything unlike love. You know, I mean, that is the work right now.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, and then from a space of love, make contribution to the veterans and to anyone who's in service and to those who want to be in service. Open that way. So, okay, I'm complete. Hey, I should be a politician.
All right. We have a blessed one. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Any thoughts on this topic for you, Tim? Michelle?
I think there's some facts, like a third of the homeless people on the street are veterans.
Yeah.
And that there may have, be more homeless veterans than the number of soldiers that died in the Vietnam War.
Yep.
And that, you know, people are, the VA system is over, work, people, there was a big scandal when Obama was in office about people dying on the way to getting treatment and the waiting list that they had. So, I know they're attempting to make improvements. They definitely have a lot more awareness than when I first joined the military in terms of labeling PTSD or providing benefits. It's inadequate, but it is moving forward.
Well, I certainly join with that moving forward. Any thoughts for you, Tim?
Well, the filter that I like to put on things that's made my life better by leaps and bounds, the more I do, is that whether it's true or not, I'll never be able to prove, or I don't think I'll be able to prove, but I've noticed how much better my life gets the more that I just put the filter on that says every person is doing the best they can in each moment with the resources they have. And when I extend that filter to everyone and everything that I look at mentally or physically with the eyes, including myself, my life gets better by leaps and bounds. So I would put that filter on. And then the other part of it would be to echo that these tools are so powerful and effective that it's motivated me to spend a good deal of my time, intelligence, money, and energy trying to make them available to a wider and wider audience at a deeper and deeper level. That would be my comment.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. So, Jeannie, anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue or anybody with a comment in the chat room?
Actually, Michelle's got the switchboard, so. No.
Oh, okay. Michelle?
Right now. Jeannie, don't use your remote vision, Jeannie.
Okay.
No, not right now.
Well, let's just reinforce this idea then that the forgiveness process is the process of removing mind structures through which we shine our creative light. If we have mind structures of darkness, hostility, and fear, then we give rise to circumstances based in hostility and fear. If we choose to apply forgiveness to those mind structures, then those mind structures dissolve, and the reason for us experiencing a world of hostility or fear is gone. And all you have to do is clean up the generational structures in your energy system to be free of the insanity. And there's seemingly plenty of insanity to go around. And so to be the one who says, and instead of participating in the insanity, I choose to bring forward the active presence of love. And I choose to bring forward the active presence of love. And then I choose to bring forward the active presence of love once again. Means that we transform everything. And as we transform those structures based in hostility and fear, they dissipate and disappear. Or as the lesson from 314 said, past mistakes can cast no shadows on the present. So that fear has lost its idols and its images. What are the idols and images? We're talking about the mind structures through which we've shone our creative light. As you forgive, you dissolve those things. And those things, while they are structures in our minds, and we shine our light through them, bring about their expression in form. Now that the idols based in hostility or fear have been dissolved, the images in the mind forgiven, removed, these things are no longer formless. So we don't end up with another generation looking at it and going, oh, look at all the terror and trauma. Oh, my God, terror and trauma, that's life. Oh, well, here I am stuck in, and them being another generation that plays those things that we've given form to, not because they belong in form, but because we're creators. And to forgive is to recognize that they no longer have any effects. Past mistakes can cast no shadows on the present, so that fear has lost its idols and images, and being formless, it has no effects. Have a blessed day. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. To our veterans, share our love.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org That's www.whyagain.org.